We're looking at the broader implications of the antitrust lawsuits against Facebook and whether the social media giant will be broken up. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Last week, the Federal Trade Commission in more than 40 states sued the social media giant, and they want the company to be split apart. So what regulations, if any, would you like imposed on Facebook and other tech firms? Are you hoping to see more antitrust lawsuits against the world's largest tech companies? We're at 800-642-1234. Lena Kahn is an associate professor at Columbia Law School, where she researches antitrust law and the anti-monopoly tradition. Lena, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me.
So antitrust laws are these statutes that governments come up with to protect us consumers from predatory business practices and to make sure there's competition, right? A more of an even playing field. Can you tell us what the lawsuits filed by the Federal Trade Commission and all of these states are alleging that Facebook is doing?
The lawsuits filed last week against Facebook are alleging that Facebook illegally maintained its monopoly, specifically through a campaign either to buy up its competitors or to bury them. So, you know, there are fair ways to compete, and then there are anti-competitive ways. And the states and the FTC are alleging that Facebook was engaging in these anti-competitive business practices.
And who are the players in this? I mean, who are Facebook's competitors? Who did they buy up? Who are they stifling?
Yeah, great question. So basically, the Facebook, when it entered the market back in, you know, 2004, 2005, there were a set of social networking players already on the scene, including companies like MySpace. And so Facebook was competing, you know, to try and draw users. It was really trying to make its services better. But once Facebook became more dominant, it started worrying that it would lose that dominance, especially once users started accessing social networking, not on desktop, but on their mobile phones. And that's when companies like Instagram, like WhatsApp, became more popular. And the complaints filed show emails internally where these executives were really scared. They were really frightened that they would be outcompeted. And so instead of trying to win out by actually making Facebook better, what did they do? They bought up Instagram and they bought up WhatsApp for billions of dollars. They actually paid $19 billion for WhatsApp at the time. So that was, you know, now is being determined that those were a series of illegal acquisitions. You can't, you know, you can compete by trying to make your products and services better. You can't compete just by trying to eliminate the competition by buying it up. So that's really the main main claim that's being alleged in these complaints. There was also a way in which Facebook cut off its competitors. So Facebook's network is used by, you know, thousands and thousands of other app developers so that they can hook onto Facebook's network and access more users. Facebook initially liked this because it was a way for Facebook to also get more users. But again, once it started identifying apps and developers that were threatening Facebook, it just cut them off. And again, there's a lot of evidence showing that Facebook basically weaponized its platform to target rivals and to go after them and make sure they couldn't survive.
Give us a sense how big Facebook is.
Facebook is the largest social networking site in the world. And not only does Facebook itself dominate, but it also owns several of the top other social networking services, be it Instagram or be it WhatsApp. So I think it owns three of the top six social networking services in the world.
And it made billions of dollars last year. The AP reporting more than $70 billion.
That's right. Yes, it made billions of dollars. Its valuation is upwards of $500 billion. It's one of the richest and most powerful companies in the world.
And there are other social media companies, you know, in this space, including, you know, Twitter, YouTube, Reddit, others. Why should we consider Facebook a monopoly?
So the FTC in the States note that Facebook is really unique. People go onto Facebook not to less to access content like they do with YouTube, but really to connect with each other and to share contact with each other. And so in that sense, you know, Facebook is dominant. It's not really competing with YouTube for the types of things that people actually go to Facebook for, right? You kind of go to Facebook to kind of check in what's going on with your family, which of your friends, you know, went on vacation, right? You weren't able to make that family wedding. You can sign on to see their photos. So it's really a different set of uses that people go to Facebook for than they do, you know, for Twitter. I go to Twitter to like check the news, to see, you know, analysis of various events. It's not to go see what's happening with, you know, actual friends and family in their personal lives. So these services are actually used for very different purposes. And the states and the FTC are alleging that in the market that Facebook dominates, it really is a uniquely powerful monopoly.
We're talking with Lena Khan. She's an associate professor at Columbia Law School, and she's explaining how the federal government and states are suing Facebook for allegedly breaking antitrust laws. You can join in with your questions. What do you think about the case against Facebook? Are you happy to see the government trying to rein in a tech giant, or is this too heavy-handed? 800-642-1234. Let's take a call now. Tom is with us from Burlington. Hi, Tom. Good morning.
What amazes me is all the information these people know about you. It's almost like we take it for granted. But I wanted to ask this question. Is when they broke up, historically, when they broke up AT&T, AT&T used to have a huge monopoly on telephones. And then these companies they had the five baby bells. They broke them up into five little baby bells. And then those baby bells became even bigger. And now it's back into the same situation it was before they broke it up. And I wonder, how can we prevent that from happening again, or is it going to work?
Yeah, Tom, bringing that historical context, Lena, what would you say?
That's a great question. I think there were a couple of things that happened there. One of which was that the government actually allowed those baby bells in some instances to actually merge, right? So when you're a big company and you want to merge or buy up another company, you have to report it to the federal government. And so the federal government, if they want, they can block it. And in that case, they didn't block it. And, you know, we've seen enormous consolidation within telecom over the last few years, the most significant merger of which was the Sprint T-Mobile deal, right? So that was, again, billions of dollars affecting Americans all across the country. So that was a deal that really took us from having four major giants to just three. And so for many Americans, you know, they're going to have fewer choices and their prices are already going up. So I think that's exactly right. And the way to stop it is to, you know, pressure our government to not allow these deals to go through in the first place.
Okay, so what remedies is the government seeking in this Facebook case?
So one of the main remedies they're seeking is for Facebook to divest Instagram and WhatsApp. So to spin those out as independent companies. So that really would look like the type of breakups that we've seen in the past with AT&T, with Standard Oil. That's one of the main remedies that these states and the FTC are requesting.
How realistic is it at this point to undo the acquisition of WhatsApp and Instagram?
I think it's quite possible that the judge will order that Facebook, you know, bought up these companies illegally. It made these acquisitions as part of a broader campaign to snuff out its rivals, that this is anti-competitive, that this really goes against what the antitrust laws are really for, and that the appropriate remedy there is that it should spin them off. I think that's quite possible. You know, these cases take a while, so this won't be litigated fully, you know, until the later half of next year. Even it may go into 2022. So I think it's going to take a while to play itself out, but it's very possible that you know, Facebook would have to spin these out as independent companies.
Lena Khan, the authority on antitrust and competition law. She's an associate professor at Columbia Law School. Do you use Facebook? What do you think of its services? Are you worried that the lawsuit could damage the company's services, or do you think it'll make them better? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're examining this wave of lawsuits in the pursuit of limiting the power of the world's tech giants. Facebook is being sued by the federal government and dozens of states, and we're talking about it here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Has big tech, think Apple, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, Facebook? Have they become too powerful? What should be the consequences for potential acquisitions and mergers? It's 800-642-1234. Lena Khan teaches antitrust law at Columbia Law School, and she's our guide. So, Lena, if Facebook would be broken up, what measures should or would be put in place to guarantee that competition is increased in the personal social networking marketplace in the U.S.?
I think if these services were broken off, I think we would actually start seeing them get better for users in a whole bunch of ways. The complaints note that, you know, since Facebook became a monopoly and was able to maintain this monopoly through just buying up its rivals, it actually has worsened its service for users in a whole bunch of ways, including through making privacy less secure for users. So we are all familiar now, you know, there have been years of revolutions about how Facebook has been really reckless with users' data. It's kind of, you know, been allowed malicious actors to get access to that user, to that data. It's actually gone back on its privacy promises. So WhatsApp in particular, before Facebook acquired it, used to be very secure, used to be very private, and people used to use WhatsApp precisely for that extra level of security. When Facebook bought up WhatsApp, you know, there were a lot of concerns, especially by privacy advocates, that this would be really bad. You know, Facebook's whole business model is to sell personal data about individuals for, to advertisers. And there was concern that WhatsApp would also become insecure. At the time, Facebook promised regulators that it wouldn't go back on any of the privacy commitments of WhatsApp. You know, this was really key to it being able to make this acquisition. Regulators approved it. What happened a few years later? Facebook undid all of those privacy commitments that WhatsApp had, making it less secure and making it less private for users. So I think, you know, if we had these spins, these breakups, you would have, at the very basic level, a greater number of individual executives and individual people making these decisions about these services. Right now, there's just so much decision-making power all consolidated effectively in Mark Zuckerberg, right? This one individual who controls these technologies that billions and billions of users are using around the world and that have really important consequences, right? I mean, there was evidence that there was election interference through Facebook, right? Facebook's decisions about how it structures its algorithm affects whether Americans are seeing particular types of information or whether that information is totally invisible to them, right? I mean, this is like a single individual, a single company making all of these decisions that are affecting Americans in really powerful ways. And so at the most basic level, breaking up Instagram and WhatsApp would just introduce more diversity. It would mean that if users are not liking the decisions that Facebook is making, they can go to Instagram, they can go to WhatsApp, that these services had the opportunity to actually compete. Some of the evidence that the states and the FTC collected are showing that even though Facebook has now bought up Instagram, it still feels threatened that Instagram will divert attention from Facebook. And so it's actually made decisions.
Even
that
if it's
Instagram,
under the same umbrella?
Even if it's under the same umbrella, that's right. It's what's so surprising. Facebook basically worries that Instagram will cannibalize traffic from Facebook. And so after buying them up, they actually suppressed Instagram on Facebook's own site. So I think there's, you know, a lot of opportunity for Instagram and WhatsApp to thrive as independent businesses and actually deliver better services for Americans.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Lena Khan, who is an associate professor at Columbia Law School and expert on antitrust law. We're discussing the litigation against Facebook and the efforts to seek to break it up, to break up the social media tech company. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Rebecca now, who's joining us from Onalaska. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, good morning. Great topic. I do agree with the breaking up of Facebook and their conglomerate, but my concern, even bigger, is Google. I work in an education system, and these kids have Google accounts from the time they're in kindergarten, and the amount of data that they're able to collect on these kids and keep until they're adults is astronomical, and unfortunately, school districts don't always necessarily have a choice on who they use as a network. So I'm just curious what they think about using Google and breaking up Google.
Rebecca, thank you for that question. Lena, what do you say there on, you know, in the face of Google here?
That's an excellent question. Rebecca is absolutely right. Google is also a monopoly, right? It dominates both online search as well as, you know, dozens of other services ranging from YouTube to email to, you know, digital advertising. It's now trying to become dominant in the home, right, with Nest and other devices. I think it's a big problem. And the House Antitrust Subcommittee last year investigated all of these tech companies, including Google, and concluded that Google is a monopoly and that it's abused its monopoly in a whole bunch of ways. And the Justice Department in October actually sued Google, alleging that it had also maintained and achieved its monopoly through a bunch of illegal tactics. So I think we are starting to see more regulatory attention on Google as well. The U.S. has actually kind of been an outlier. So countries around the world have already been bringing antitrust actions against Google. The European Commission brought 3 separate antitrust actions against Google, noting that it was a monopoly and it had abused its monopoly power. So the U.S. is now kind of catching up to that. But I think Rebecca is absolutely right. We need to be especially concerned about Google, especially given its inroads into, you know, education for kids and how all of these kids are, you know, having Google accounts from the get-go. And Google's business model, like Facebook's business model, is to sell targeted ads, right? So it's to sell to advertisers the ability to target every person, as you know, in the most personal way possible. And so that business model incentivizes both Google and Facebook to collect as much information as possible. And so I think it's really troubling that these services that Americans are relying on more and more, that, as Rebecca noted, oftentimes we don't actually have a choice, right? These kids don't have a choice. Yeah. That the business model there is to actually collect as much of their data as possible and you know, sell it. So I think that's a big problem.
Oh, well, while we're talking Google, what about other big tech firms? What about Apple? What about Amazon?
So Amazon and Apple are also both dominant. Amazon collects over 50%, captures over 50% of all online retail in the United States, in particular for particular products that share as high as 80%, as 90%. Its power has only grown through the pandemic as people have become more reliant on online retail. And, you know, for the merchants that rely on Amazon to access customers, Amazon has also used a series of anti-competitive tactics to maintain its dominance. And so that's something that the Congress has also looked at. They invited Jeff Bezos to come testify about a whole bunch of evidence. And he really didn't have good answers, which suggests that, you know, these tactics are happening. Similarly, Apple, you know, around half of all smartphone users are Apple users, and Apple has used that monopoly power in particular against developers who are trying to access iPhone users. So I think both of these firms are dominant, and they use several business practices that should be looked at more closely.
Well, let's fit in another call here. Matt is with us from Evansville. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Great topic today. Just was wondering about the right to be forgotten. It's a movement that's kind of taken off in Europe, and wondering, does the guest see that getting traction in the U.S. anytime soon? You know, people's decisions, what they post online, change over time, and can, you know, do we have a right to be forgotten? I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Yeah, Matt, thank you. Lena, can you explain what this is?
That's a great question. And, you know, in Europe, we have had several countries adopt this idea of right to be forgotten. In the U.S., we haven't done anything like that, in part because, you know, our tradition around First Amendment and about having information out there about these topics is very strong. And we kind of look with fear upon government restrictions on the ability to express and publish and disseminate information. So I think the U.S. legal tradition is quite makes it quite at odds with this right to be forgotten idea. But I think, you know, it does get to this fundamental problem where do we want, especially for kids being raised in this era, do we want, you know, information about what happened to them as little kids to be out on the internet forever and ever? So I think it is a cultural and social debate that we need to be having.
We only have a few seconds left. What are you watching for in this litigation with Facebook?
Well, I'm watching to see first, you know, what types of arguments Facebook tries to offer in response. And then I'll be looking to see, you know, how the judge rules and whether he or she orders the company to be broken up.
Lena, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Lena Khan is an associate professor at Columbia Law School and an expert in antitrust law. Coming up, we talk with a scientist who is trying to use stem cells to grow human organs. That's after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.